Sorry, I'm just going to find it. Yes, I know. It's all right, I half expected it to be open. I'm sorry, I shouldn't assume. Right. The first part of the reading is taken from Genesis 17, verses 9 through to 27. Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that very day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought him from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Carol, very much. We're going to stand and sing. We've learned through Abraham that God is a faithful God, and this song reflects that he is our firm foundation. Please stand as we sing. Please do be seated. Our second part of the reading comes from Genesis 18. And in the meantime, God has appeared again to Abraham, and Abraham invites three visitors back to his tent. And this is what happens. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for these amazing words. And as we continue our journey with Abraham, we pray that they will live for us in a new and fresh way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not going to sing the song again, but I want to go back to the reading. So just before I worry the musicians. What causes you to laugh? My family have a bit of a reputation. For those who married into it, it was always a bit of a trial that my family would laugh and lose it totally. And the in-laws who'd married in were going, what's funny? Why are they laughing? I have to admit that there are some in church who've experienced me losing it in laughter. And they couldn't understand it. I was literally, we were camping together, I was literally rolling in the ground in laughter. And they were going, what's going on? Where's he gone? I wonder what makes you laugh. Well, for Abraham and Sarah, there is laughter, but there's not much humor. As we will see, it's a wry laughter. Darren took us helpfully to the place last week where we understood that Abraham has grown old and so has Sarah, and they're wondering what's happened to the covenant promises of God. But as we saw last week, God restated the promises to Abraham at the beginning of chapter 17. And in the beginning half, he confirms his promise to Abraham. And Abraham is excited by that and excited by how great God is. So we learnt last week that he fell face down before the Lord. And yet we began to see this week primarily that as the covenant had been made and as God, as we have seen in the past, has given the promises, now God makes a demand. We actually began to see that last week. Chapter 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Now, this might be a bit of a surprise for us, because so far we have looked at the promises of God being unconditional. But in verse 1, we begin to see the demand of God. We have learned without doubt that the covenant, the promises of God, is initiated and established by God. Nevertheless, in the light of this, there is now a demand. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Now, what does it mean to walk before the Lord and be blameless? Now, it's not a call to be perfect. But the writer wants us to understand that as a natural consequence of God's promises and covenant with Abraham, he has a responsibility to walk before the Lord faithfully and so be blameless. In response to God's promises, Abraham is to respond by living out his life devoted to God, committed to following him. And if he responds to the promises in such a way, he is promised he will be seen as blameless. When we were younger and the kids wouldn't walk home with us, we used to play a game as parents where we'd do a sort of silly walk and get them to follow our footsteps so that they would follow after us. And the call here is that Abraham will follow where God leads, that he will walk in the way that God wants him to walk. When we looked at the book of James, we saw how James taught that same truth when he says faith without works is dead. If we understand all God has done for us, it has to reflect in how we live our lives, how we act. Now, what that looks like for Abraham is fleshed out in verses 9 to 14. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision and it will be the sign of the covenant between you and me. Now, God has made the covenant, it's done. Now his people are called to demonstrate that they want to participate in the covenant. How do they demonstrate they want to participate? This is your my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you shall be circumcised. Now, why does God choose circumcision of a male as the sign of a covenant? Not a clue. The Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know. He just did. Now, there's some very fanciful explanations that are given, but the truth is, we don't know. But what we do know is that if you wanted to show you wanted to participate in the covenant as a Jew, this is what you did. This was the sign. That's all it was. It was the sign that you wanted to be part. Let's look at what happens at a marriage service. Often in a marriage service, there is a ring. Here is the ring. Doesn't make the relationship, but it does demonstrate that you want to be in the relationship. This is a demonstration that I want to be married, that I accepted the demands of that relationship. There aren't many demands. Wife sitting over there. But that's the point, isn't it? I've accepted the demands of what being married means. Now, in the same way, circumcision was the sign or symbol of the relationship, the symbol of the relationship between God and Abraham. This is what God is doing. God says, if you want to show you want to be in relationship with me, Abraham, this is what you and your descendants have to do. Circumcising the male, as God commanded, was just that. Doesn't mean that you are keeping the covenant. It's the demonstration that you want to live in the covenant relationship. So let's go back to the wedding ring. If a husband or wife is going out on their own, and on their way to wherever they're going, they remove their wedding ring and hide it. What are they saying? I don't want to be considered as married in this place I'm going. A Jew who refused to circumcise his child was saying exactly that. I don't want to be considered as being in relationship with God. God has not broken his covenant or terminated it. All he's saying is, if you've understood all I've done for you, if you've understood what I've promised, then you need, as a Jew at that time, to be obedient, to show that you want to enter the covenant, to be in relationship with me. Fast forward to the New Testament, where we see Jesus offer a relationship with God to us free because he's done his death, his resurrection, his ascension. The relationship that we're offered is initiated by God, maintained by God. It's a gift of God's grace and mercy that we enter into by faith. But then he says, you see, once you've entered the relationship, now you need to live for me. That's the sign that we want to live in relationship with God. The sign that we've accepted all that God has done for us is, as chapter 17, verse 1 says, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Once we are in relationship with God, you see, once we've understood all he's done for us, then the sign that we want to be in that relationship is our willingness to walk as God wants us to walk, to go as God wants us to go. The sign of our relationship with God is that we increasingly love to walk in his ways. We increasingly love the fact that the Spirit of God helps us to do that. Now I wonder, what is God calling you to do today to show that you want to walk before him? Perhaps he's asking you for the first time because you've never entered a relationship with him to say, I accept all that you've done for me. Perhaps you've done that already, but you know that you've let your relationship with him drift because a sin has begun to entangle you and you know you've got to stop it. Perhaps there's a habit that's distracting you. Perhaps you know the Lord is calling you to step out in faith to a new place. But you're reticent. Whatever it is, the question God asks all of us this morning is, will we walk faithfully before the Lord? That is God's demand. Secondly, we see Abraham's response. Verse 15. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. King of people will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Isaac. God again reminds Abraham of the promise, this time by explaining how Sarah will conceive and what the results of that will be. But then we have this response from Abraham. He laughs. Now, we mustn't be too hard on him. He was very, very old. Older than anyone here, he said confidently. And his wife was way past childbearing age. And that's why chapter 18 has the same response. She laughs as well. And you can understand it, can't you? But notice what he does too. Abraham goes, well, you could, Ishmael, he's all right, isn't he? They've tried to short-circuit what God was going to do already, and now they try to do it again. Abraham's response and Sarah's shows that he's struggling to live out his faith, struggling to walk faithfully in God's ways. Now just put yourself into Abraham and Sarah's place for a moment. Had this promise for years upon years upon years. Every year that passed without it being fulfilled was another year of disappointment. Just imagine living with that. And I guess there are some of us here today who will associate with that feeling very much, because we know there's a promise of God and we sort of expected him to fulfill it in a particular way and he hasn't. And time has passed and we're disappointed. Disappointed that he hasn't done what we thought he would do. Abraham and Sarah remind us in their laughter that we're not alone in those struggles of faith. The struggle to actually continue to trust that God keeps his promises. Abraham and Sarah's faith has been pushed to its limits. But their faith must continue and grow. They need to continue to trust in God's promise. Just think for a minute. Why do you think God took so long to fulfill the promise? He could have done it in any of those intervening years. Why did he take so long? Now, it's not because he takes some sadistic pleasure in this delay and the pain it caused. What he wants is for Abraham and Sarah's faith to grow and be strengthened. And sometimes God will let us go through some really difficult things so that our strength will grow. Is that comfortable? Absolutely not. I'd far rather have the easy route, wouldn't you? Give me the motorway any day over a little road that I don't know where it's going. But God, you see, knows what is best. And so he keeps not fulfilling this promise for year after year. Did it work in Abraham and Sarah's case? Was their faith strengthened? Absolutely. Look what happens. Verse 23. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or brought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that very day. I have to say, when I read this through, I thought, wow, that's painful. And if you're a traveling nomad, it's even more painful, by the way. But Abraham knows that he must be obedient. His faith has been strengthened. He says, visibly shows that he wants to be in a relationship with God and is willing to do what is needful. So the question for us as we close is this. Do we want to walk before God faithfully? Do we want to walk in God's ways, in the ways of Christ, even when that's costly and difficult? The God who through the cross of Christ, his resurrection and ascension, put us right with him, today asks us, is it our heart's desire to walk in his ways? Not a vague intention or a passing fad, but our heart's desire. How will you answer that question today? What will you say to the Lord as he asks you that? We're going to have a moment's quiet for us to think how we'd answer. And we're going to use in a minute, for those who want to use it, this prayer which I'll leave up. It's a prayer that expresses that desire to walk faithfully before the Lord. A moment's quiet as we can read these words to ourselves and reflect on whether we're willing to say them. Please don't feel any pressure, but if you want to join in with these words, please feel free to do so. So as you feel ready, please pray. I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things. Wherever you may place me, when I am troubled and when I am at peace, your will be done when I am valued and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment and when it is lacking, when I have all things and when I have nothing. I willingly offer all I have and am ready to faithfully walk in your ways wherever that leads me. Glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. May it be so forever. Let this covenant and promise now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven. Amen. Lord God, thank you that we do not journey alone, that you by your Spirit live in us. So words said today, may they impact us in the weeks and months and years ahead. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Let's say these words together. May God, by his Holy Spirit, give us the desire and ability to fulfill the promise we have made this day. Amen. And our song will reflect that desire. Please stand as we sing, Take My Life and Let It Be.